Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Got a great guest for you tonight. March the 10th on the West Coast, now on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, it's March the 11th. And wouldn't you know, after the series of shows we've been doing for the past 2-3 weeks, all of a sudden I get an email with somebody that's upset with me because we're talking about no planes on 9/11. Now, I want to clarify something, and I wrote what I feel is a terse but kind email response back to the individual that was really concerned, and this person may not even be listening to the show now on the basis of what was in the email. But then again, I have to use a little bit of discernment and realize that people are very upset still in 2009 with what happened on 9/11/2001. The government has basically just swept everything under the rug or picked it up in a bulldozer and shipped it off to probably New Jersey, as they do all the other garbage in New York. Anyway, the fact that we have been speaking about no planes relates to the 9/11 videos that, or the video representations of a plane that we saw on the mainstream media. If one spends any amount of time investigating the actual video, and I'm talking about slowing down, slow motion, freeze framing the planes entering the building, you see the wings go into the building, which is a video effect. And then there's another video effect that after the wings go into the building again becomes whole. This would not happen in a stop or freeze frame viewing of any kind of video when something goes through a window, a door, a wall, a building. It leaves a hole. And as that object continues to move forward through the hole, the building, the window, the door, the wall, whatever, does not repair itself. It does not take on the characteristics of a brand new building, at least in general appearance. So we're referring to the fact that the representations of passenger planes is bogus. It's been compiled and edited ad nauseum on various videos that have been released by the mainstream media, and they couldn't have all the shots that they claim are actual live shots. You just can't do that unless you are filming the event knowing that it's going to take place, which means they planned it anyway. But to cast dispersions on myself or other guests on this show because they have information that indicates that quite likely remote control planes were used. Now, we're not even certain that those planes went into the buildings. But I received an email from someone who I won't name. I'll cut some slack there so I don't cause the person to be any more upset than they are. But let me just say that to entertain something that's outside the box is already difficult, but please don't refer to myself or my guests as jokes. Otherwise, just change the channel and stop sending email. That would certainly make you feel better and me, and I'm sure my guests. Now, if you're really interested in getting to the truth, and you'll continue to listen to these shows, because we are revealing the truth. And we're not asking anyone to believe anything. I've never asked anyone in my listening audience to believe one word I say. I've encouraged you many, many times to research. Do some research. Do your homework and make your own conclusions. Now, this person referred to having an actual videotape that a friend shot from the balcony, and this is the argument that is supposed to refute all the evidence I or my guests, many who have written books on the topic, are lying, and that this person, the so-called friend, which we don't know this person even has as a friend, shot a video from the balcony. We don't even know the friend has a balcony or a video camera. And certainly we haven't seen the video. So if it's that important of a video, then by all means, send us a copy. And you know how to get in touch with me. I can make arrangements to get a copy of the video. That said, I would like to bring on tonight's guest. He is a talk show host and a researcher of many, many topics, 9/11 being one of them. He has his own radio show called The American Awakening. And right now he is on Liberty News Radio 3 hours a day from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Or is it 5? 5? No, 5 to 8 p.m.
4 to
Eastern
7.
Time. Is it 4 to 7 Eastern?
Yes.
I
no,
can't
no,
even
five,
remember.
5 to 8 Eastern.
I 5 to 8. That's what I thought it was. Yeah.
All right.
5 to 8 Eastern. And he has been on Evident Footprints, and I actually got my start as a guest on Internet Talk Radio, being his guest on The American Awakening when he was with Republic Broadcasting Network. My good friend and fellow researcher and fellow talk show host, Michael Herzog. Michael, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Don? Always a pleasure to be on your program. I enjoy it immensely. I never know what we're going to talk about, but it always turns out good. So what are we talking about, Don?
well, you heard my little rant in the beginning here, and I'm not really mad. I just think, you know, people jump to conclusions sometimes. They don't hear exactly what they think they should hear, and so they get upset. And if they're genuinely the person that they say they are in the email, and if they really feel that way, then there's nothing more I can do. I'm not going to apologize for telling the truth and for revealing what my research is showing.
Let me interject here. I mean, and you hit the nail on the head. As far as 9/11 is concerned, look, I don't know how many theories out there about, you know, planes hit the building, no planes hit the building, you know, the buildings come down with thermite, buildings were space beams, the buildings were this or that. My contention, as you know, Don, and I went down the rabbit hole on 9/11 many years ago, is that I'm at the point where I really personally don't care too much about how they came down as opposed to who did it. But with that in mind, I will say I've got a program coming up Monday with a brand new, what I think is a very plausible theory that I've never heard before, which ties in and makes sense regarding how the buildings come down. Not about whether planes hit the buildings or not. I think, if I remember correctly, Don, you and I had this discussion before about the plane, no plane thing, and I have always had a question, being a pilot and owning two airplanes in the past of my own, airplanes are made out of aluminum, and those buildings were made out of steel. And so, if you take a pop can, a 7-Up can or whatever you want to do, and you smash it with your, you know, you smash it against the wall with your palm of your hand, or you smash it with your heel of your boot, you know, it just crumbles up. And I don't care how fast, the faster the plane was going, the faster that I would think that if a plane hit the building, it would have just smashed into it, as opposed to making a hole. Now, with that in mind, you had mentioned, you know, the research and the guests that you've had come up on your show with the no plane theory. I've reviewed many, many, many 9/11 videos, and I'm thinking that, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm thinking that, you know, your contention is that these were what, holograms? Is that right?
Well, let's be precise about what we're saying here, okay?
Okay.
First of all, if you're looking at a passenger list and you find that so-called victims of the first plane crash are still alive, what do you conclude?
Well, I've already concluded that, you know, first of all, the four airliners that were in play here, they had very, very unusually small passenger manifests. In other words, you could take all the passengers of all four of those jetliners, put them on one jet, one big jet, okay? So I've pretty much concluded that whatever they did with the original airplanes, those were not the original airplane. The one that took off from Logan International Airport didn't crash into the building. Now, if a plane crashed into the building, I don't believe it was the plane that took off from Logan. Okay?
That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. In other words, these people were not killed in that plane crash into the building.
Now, being an investigator, you know, I go by a preponderance of the evidence, Don. You know, it's not like guilty, you know, with no doubt or with reasonable doubt or without a shadow of a doubt or whatever. It's a preponderance of the evidence more on a civil matter of the evidence weighs more towards it happened that way than it didn't. And my contention is the preponderance of the evidence from my investigation shows that it is more likely than not that the planes that took off from the airports with the passengers on board did not hit those buildings. Go ahead.
That, I agree with you. Okay, now that doesn't mean that there weren't any planes flying around Manhattan. Okay? Now, what planes would have been flying around? Well, you'd have to do quite a bit more extensive research. For instance, you'd have to take into account a pattern that seems to be popping up with these more recent plane crashes, the one in Buffalo, the one of Michael Connell, who was to testify about the election fraud, the guy that crashed on his approach. It's always 6 to 7 miles out from the airport that these planes are crashing. And the Buffalo plane crash, we determined that it was on fire. Forget about ice. The plane was on fire, and witnesses on the location or at that location described that. The media would not report that because the cover story is ice. It's an insurance scam, and it's a hit contract hit on certain passengers on that plane. And they scooped up a bunch of money on the insurance. This is actually what even occurred on 9/11. This is difficult for people. Now, some of these people were very important. As time goes on, we're going to reveal more information about that. But let it suffice to say that the fact that these people end up missing or nobody knows where they are, you give somebody enough money, they'll disappear and they'll change their life. Or if you command them to, or if you take the plane and dump it in the ocean, shoot it out. Now, some of the evidence that Field McConnell brought forth on his recent interview on this show and on the Rick Adams show, which I guest hosted on the 30th of March, I mean February, excuse me, misspoke, 30th of no.
February's only got 28 days, Don. Come on now.
No, wait. I have to back up and look at the date. But it was the last Monday of February. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, that said, Field brought forth some information that that he had tracked that these planes were actually taken out over the Atlantic Ocean. So assuming that that's what happened, I asked him what the fate of the planes would have been, and he said likely they were shot down. Now, that's assuming then that people were on those planes. They had to get rid of those planes, you understand? Those planes were marked and would have been found out eventually, right away. So they had to destroy the planes. The thing then is, did they kill the people that were on the planes? Many of them were very important to the computer industry. Many, many of those people. In fact, from what I'm seeing and looking at, they're all related to the internet and computer software companies, and that they had to give them a new mission. And it's either, you know, you do this or else. I'm finding many of those people, and you've heard about the stories regarding Barbara Olson having been seen and arrested in Europe. And the evidence that I've looked at shows me that she may even be here in the United States. There's a very strong possibility. And as I went name by name through the list, all of these people appear to be alive. Dead people don't get older. And so what I'm saying is there's so much intersecting evidence that these people are still alive. They couldn't have been on those planes, and those planes then or therefore were not the planes that people say they saw hit the buildings. That's basically what I'm saying. Go ahead now.
Okay, well, I'm, you know, not knowing, you know, you're the one that's done the investigation on this. I haven't gone down that rabbit hole, so I can't comment on something that, unless I have documented evidence, I can't comment on it. But I, you know, I detected that you had spoken a few minutes ago and said something about you had tracked down some of these people, or Field McConnell had tracked down some of these people that indeed are alive. Is that correct?
I've tracked the people down. Field McConnell seems to think the planes themselves were shot down. Now, unless you're watching the people get on the plane take off, and you follow it and see that no one's let off the plane didn't land somewhere else and was unloaded, or that the people never actually got on the plane and they just destroyed the plane because they had to, you know, get rid of that evidence. And then they knew whatever they flew into the World Trade Center was designed to do the damage it did. They're speaking about remote-controlled planes. Now, the Global Hawk issue came out in a past show you and I did several times. And Dov Zakheim controlling, you know, that technology for the Pentagon. He was the assistant.
Controller.
Yeah, yeah. He was a comptroller for the Defense Department. So here's a guy that everybody assumes took $2.3 trillion, likely to Israel, and then these remote control planes come out into the issue, and the same issue comes up with the Buffalo plane crash. And one can assume that Congressman Paul Weldon's plane that crashed in Minnesota.
Wellstone?
Wellstone's plane, and then Michael Connell's plane. These people had damning evidence or were a thorn in the sides of the powers that be. They were doing the right things, and they didn't want the truth to come out. So they were taken out. Now, they collect insurance money on these people, and they have, beyond what the people might have taken out for life insurance or accident insurance as passengers on these planes, there's a pool that's set up. Walter Burian told me that that all the soldiers have million-dollar policies on their heads that they're not even aware of. These guys take out a $5,000 policy, or he mentioned up to $35,000 policies for themselves and their families. And then when they die, the government makes $1 million on them. So, you know, this is another indication of the type of fraud that's going on. Again, this money gets pooled into derivatives and hedge funds, which are basically worthless. Yet, if they have these contracts and someone dies, they collect on the money. You better be sure they do that. So, now Siddeley Austin is the company, and Cisco Systems is the company, and using Mindbox technology, this is how they pull this off. Siddeley Austin happens to be Michelle Obama's law firm, former law firm, and the firm that Barack Obama worked for. So you see why the players in Washington are where they are right now. Something seriously to consider here, okay? Go ahead and comment.
I'm taking all this in and absorbing it, but again, you know, I personally have not gone down that particular journey, investigatively speaking, so I can't comment. The only thing I could do is speculate, Don, and I can't really do that because, again, I haven't gone down and done the investigation on it. As far as, you know, going back to 9/11, the only thing I can do is go by a preponderance of the evidence from the investigative research that I've done and
yes.
Say that it is more conclusive than not that the planes, if planes hit the building, it certainly wasn't the planes that they assert hit the buildings. And as far as the Pentagon is concerned, according to several witnesses, inclusive of April Gallup, who was there, who was in the military, of whom I'm going to have up on my show before long, no plane hit that building at all. There was a flyover, but no plane hit the building. It was a missile or a Global Hawk, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
The hole was not conducive to a hole large enough for a 757. That's all really a bit of regurgitation on past shows. The only thing that would be good for really is for the sake of new listeners. But again, you know, when it comes to tracking down the people, now I've heard reports, unverifiable from my end, that Barbara Olson, who was married to Ted Olson, who was, what was he? He was an attorney and then got promoted after this crash. Well,
he was a solicitor general.
Okay, yeah. he was an attorney that represented George Bush mm-hmm. before he was promoted to Solicitor General. So once this transpired, you know, we also when he was sitting at his desk and he had his picture of his wife conveniently turned around towards the cameras as opposed to the position it should have been in where he should have been looking at it, okay? It was turned around facing the cameras and there was this sobbing going on about, oh, his wife died, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, I've heard reports that Barbara Olson is, you know, surfaced in somewhere in Europe. I don't remember exactly where it was. And then I think you had mentioned something about the possibility that she was in Houston. And I also heard a report the other day on Max Kaiser's show that Ken Lay is alive and well. You know, the guy died of heart attack, the Enron scandal, was alive and well and living in Paraguay. But again, I haven't been able to confirm any of this. Would it surprise me if that were true? Not at all. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. Why would it not surprise me? I mean, let's take the latest one. I told you Ken Lay had a heart attack. Bernie Madoff's lawyer says his client's going to plead guilty, and the prosecutor says he's going to do 150 years in jail. I already predicted on my program earlier today Bernie Madoff's not going to serve a day in jail. Now, I don't know whether he's going to have a heart attack like Ken Lay or whether they're going to scoot him off to some island somewhere, but he's too well connected to go to prison, and that's the way it works. So with Barbara Olson and the fact that Ted Olson was promoted by the Bush administration. Again, the preponderance of the evidence that I see leads me to believe more likely than not that she's still alive, but I can't confirm that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Well, I'm inclined to agree with you about Kenneth Lay. In fact, he's probably shooting pool with Timothy McVeigh. You know,
at this juncture, I wouldn't rule anything out. Okay.
I mean, hey, Michael, we've got a call here. On line one, we've got Dr. Christopher Holmes, who has a show on BBS Radio. Would you like to talk to him?
Sure.
Yeah, hi,
okay.
Don.
Dr. Holmes, hello.
Hi, thank you. I want to call in, just mention a few things about this plane, no plane issue, which I think is really very important because I think it shows the complicity of the media in actually constructing what was shown to the public. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, have you ever seen the video series called September Clues?
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have. In fact, that's one of the most important videos that have come out that actually debunk the whole media presentation.
It has about 10 segments to it, each of about 8 minutes long. And mm-hmm. it's all based on an analysis of the five major networks, the videos that they showed on that day. And
yes.
that series provides, I would say, overwhelming criminal evidence that these were faked. And I think one of the most important shots was what they called the nose-out shot, shown from the Fox helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And what it shows is they're in the air, and you have the image of the two towers. All of a sudden, you see a plane come in on the right, and then you see the nose of that airplane extend beyond the building on the left side. And
yes.
the researchers do a micro-precision match between what they call the nose in and the nose out. And
yes.
this was shown from the Fox helicopter. Okay, now, firstly, afterwards, obviously no airplane nose sticking out the building because that would
yes.
have been observed. No one saw that. Okay, the way this happened was that they somehow moved that image too far with respect to the building because of the drift of the helicopter. Now, simply
mm-hmm.
that one item itself proves that was fraudulent. And then what
yes.
you saw is within 8 minutes, that same clip was being shown on CNN, and they were covering up the nose-out shot with their banner.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, and one of the shots, Eclipse Doctor, faded to black, if you remember. There was a cutout there.
There
one
were
of them
several of them that faded to black at the precise moment of impact.
Right, but let me insert something here, Doctor, and see, again, you know, this is where it's not conclusive for me, and here's the reason why. I saw a clip not too long ago. Somebody sent me an email. I don't know whether you've ever seen the movie They Live or not. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, no, yes.
Okay, well, it's an old movie. You know, Roddy Piper was a wrestler in the movie. And I'd seen the movie four or five times over the years. But somebody sent me a clip of the first time that Roddy Piper put on the glasses. And he's looking up, you know, when everything changed and it's got all these subliminal messages, obey, consume, you know. Well, he looks up at this billboard, and it has a picture of Barack Obama on it. Now, this movie was made in 1988, okay? It has a picture of Barack Obama on it with a message under it that says obey. Well, if you go back and you look at the original movie, that's not in there. So somebody superimposed that over there. So the only issue I have with this construction that was done on 9/11 missing links is that with the video technology that they have, you know, somebody could have concocted that together. I don't know for sure. I can tell you this, Doctor, it looks awful fishy to me, and I paid close attention to it, and I scrutinize it, but I'm still not able to firmly conclude that indeed that's what happened. Now, the jury's still out with me on it. That's not to say that it isn't the way that they said it was. I'm just saying, as far as I'm concerned, the jury's still out on it. Because I've still got it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think it really solves the issue of whether or not there might have been a drone. Because they might have superimposed another image because they didn't want images of a drone.
Mm-hmm.
So there still could have been a drone. I don't think so. I think the buildings were simply rigged with explosive materials. And Richard Gage, one of the 9/11 architects for truth, he talked about how those floors of both buildings had been coated with nanoparticulate materials, he thought, because both of them had upgrades in fire codes prior mm-hmm. to the attack. So I think it's possible they may simply have sprayed the materials or had bombs inside. I think it's still an issue. I think it's obvious they weren't planes. That video series called September Clues has like 20 to 30 major, major inconsistencies.
The
different trajectories of the planes on different videos, the different colors of the planes on different videos. On one they're black, and another they're silver. The different colors in the background. It's an amazing series. It's complex. I had to watch it about 10 times to grasp it. But I would refer listeners to that video series.
Well,
final thought, and I'll leave you, is I always thought people comment how the second tower came down before the first, and it really had burnt for a very brief time. But the problem was that the firemen there, they had almost put out those fires. Remember, there's that broadcast where they say they just need two more hoses, but the fires were confined to two floors, and they were almost to put out those two fires. And I think it would have been very embarrassing that if they arrived and there was no airplane there.
Well, let me comment on that real quick, okay? And that is that the powers that be didn't want those firemen coming back out of the building because those firemen were hearing explosions in the building. And if they would have come out, and we've already heard testimony by some of them that they heard police and firemen that they heard explosions in the building, but they wanted to bury that evidence, okay? They didn't want anybody coming out and talking about explosions in the building because, remember, this is like a magician's trick. Any scientist will tell you, or an architect or whatever, that in order to implode a building like that, like they came down, you have to take the bottom floors out first. Well, what they did by, whether they crashed the planes in the building or whether they didn't, okay, that was a diversion. That was a magician's trick. Hey, look
exactly.
up here, okay, because what's really going on is underneath.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and
okay,
even Willie Rodriguez reported the first blast was in the basement of the first tower prior to the impact above.
Yes, and he had escorted many of the victims out of there, got them out alive from the lower levels. And those lower level explosions were also caught on Rick Siegel's 9/11 eyewitness video. There was a 2.1 and a 2.3 wave on the Richter scale that was picked up by all the seismographical studies that zeroed in on what happened on that day, and it's actually in the video itself. It's been analyzed, and that did not come from up on top of the building. That was at ground level, or underneath the building. And yes, you are right. September Clues is a fantastic film. There's also another series that you might want to look at, The Super Not It Brothers. I've got all those. In fact, I'm going to post these on my website. I've turned them into QuickTime movies, and they're really fantastic. There's also another a remix of September Clues. And they call it The Remix, and it's really a good analysis because it shows you the bogus media shots that are being staged from ground level. It's really, really a revealing film. So I recommend you looking at that. Anything else, Dr. Holmes?
Thanks very much. I appreciate your researches. I enjoy your show.
I appreciate yours as well, and I enjoyed being on your show this past weekend. I'd like to do it again, too, and have you on
the show. Yeah, well, I was hoping to invite you for my next show. I thought maybe 1 hour I could interview you, and the second hour you could interview me.
Oh,
wow.
If you're
available for my next show, I was going to extend that invitation.
Okay, well,
I'll
yeah.
I'll email you.
You're on. We'll have to do that.
Okay, thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Thanks a lot for calling in. Okay. Well, there you go, Michael. There's now Dr. Holmes is in Canada. So, he's been listening to the show and he's interviewed David Hawkins as well. I was on his show this past weekend with David Hawkins. David's focusing on all the forensics of the financial transactions that have gone on. Now, you mentioned something very important too, Michael, and that's the firemen. According to David and Field, who I've already mentioned, they determined that there was a massive insurance policy on those firemen, and that they really made a bundle on those guys dying. So aside from them coming out and revealing what was actually going on inside the building, they wanted to collect insurance money as well.
Well, it seems to be a lot of insurance scams going on these days because it ties right in with Larry Silverstein and Frank Lowy. You know, Frank Lowy owned that mall underneath, and Larry Silverstein had just secured the lease 6 weeks prior on the building from the New Jersey Port Authority. Interestingly enough, Larry and Frank are both really good friends with the new Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. But one thing I want to point out for all of the listeners to recall is that there had been a 10-year ongoing lawsuit regarding the asbestos problems in that building, and they had determined it was going to cost upwards of $1 billion to fix. And all the players in that game knew that, including mm-hmm. Larry Silverstein. So, you know, obviously these guys knew beforehand because Larry Silverstein secured the lease on the building 6 weeks prior to it, then turned around, bought a massive insurance policy on those buildings, totaled $7 billion, not million, but $1 billion, and he made certain to have them write in double indemnity for a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
So he wound up collecting $7 billion on the two buildings. Well, that stinks to high heaven because I'm looking at the players in the game more than the semantics of how the buildings came down at this juncture, and I'm tying in, you know, these players along with the writers, the signers on the PNAC documents, which were infiltrated at different facets and places in the government at the time. And you mentioned Dov Zakheim, but we've got Richard Perl, who was, giving intelligence information to the Bush administration. And we know it was false intelligence. They went into Iraq on a lie with the weapons of mass destruction facade. And Susan Lindauer, of which, by the way, I wanted to mention to you, I'd like you to have her up on your program. Susan Lindauer was a CIA asset that could have blown the whole whistle on the entire agenda for the Bush administration. But she was not allowed to testify because she was arrested and thrown into prison without a trial, because she had the information that would blow the lid off of the agenda to invade Iraq to begin with. She also warned them about the 9/11 attack long prior before it happening, and they shut her up by putting her in prison and they dropped all the charges on her 4 days before George Bush walked out of office. Now, I've had her up on my program now twice. She is right now just storming the halls of Congress because Senator Leahy and Senator Whitehouse are, you know, doing their theatrics, trying to, you know, talking about putting together an investigation on the Bush administration's torture. Susan Lindauer is demanding that she be able to testify. And she will blow the lid off the administration's agenda, and she will also blow the lid off of 9/11. These people, and I fear for her life, because these people do not want her to testify. She has witnesses. She has corroborating evidence. She has everything she needs to just ruin them. So she hasn't. They haven't decided whether they're going to have the hearings as not yet, but they are. They're doing their typical song and dance. But I told Susan Lindauer, if they do have the hearings, you will either not be allowed to testify or you will be allowed to testify only with yes or no answers, directed questions. They will not allow you to say what you wish to say. Because to do that, the curtain will come down not only on the Bush administration, but also all the players in the Democratic Party, because we remember two of the Democrats voted pro-Iraq war, and the only two that didn't, Senator Leahy, the one that's having the hearings, and Senator Daschle, got an anthrax letter in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some dots for you to connect.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's a small field that we're playing in here, Don.
Yeah, I found it quite ironic that Tom Brokaw's secretary ends up getting exposed to anthrax, that someone had mailed a letter to him, and he owned stock in it. So
he owns stock in what? In Fort Detrick, Maryland's anthrax facility? What? I don't know. What?
I don't know if it's the antidote itself or some aspect of the production of that, you know, used. He owned stock in it. That's what I heard.
Well, speaking of owning stock, you know, they're touting the war drums. Benjamin Netanyahu was just voted in as prime minister, the outgoing prime minister, Ehud Olmert, being indicted for bribery. That shows you what kind of stellar individuals we have running that country.
Yeah, and there's a bank scandal between him and Frank Lowy again. Frank Lowy, who was the partner of Silverstein.
And all of these well-meaning Congress critters and senators, and I've got a list of them here, that there's about, I don't know, probably 50 of them. You know, they're talking about Iran being the axis of evil. Well, that's funny. All of these stockholders, including Nancy Pelosi, have investments in Iranian companies. So what's up with that? You know, mm-hmm. I don't get it. These people, on the one hand, they're talking about out of both sides of their face, and they're talking about Iran being the axis of evil, and they're supporting Israel, and we've got to do something about them enriching uranium, which they, you know, the CIA and 16 different intelligence agencies have said that they're 10 years away from a bomb. Well, do you know what that means? Do you know what it means to be 10 years away from a bomb? Ritter said every country's 10 years away from a bomb because it takes 10 years to develop one. So Iran has no, you know, they're not doing anything towards the manufacture of a bomb. And even if they did, if I had a neighbor in my backyard with 200 nukes that didn't like me, or if I had a neighbor, well, another analogy, if I had a neighbor next door that had, you know, 16 50 caliber rifles and a bunch of machine guns and Lord knows whatever next door, I'd be going down to the gun store to try to buy something to defend myself. So you couldn't blame Iran if they did want a nuke, although they don't. And they're complying with the IAEA regulations as far as enriching uranium for a nuclear reactor power plant. That's mm-hmm. only progress. So what are these people talking about? Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent. But, you know, I've had a bad day today. I've reported some really, really startling news. You know, on the subject of 9/11, they've held these five prisoners in Guantanamo Bay for 5 years. They have tortured them. They have attached wires to their testicles. They have sleep deprived them. They have waterboarded them. They have the only time they get a shower is with a fire hose when their hands are tied to the top of a rafter. Okay, and then they come out and say that these five guys got together, which I find that fascinating that they can do when they're all in isolation. But these five guys got together, wrote a letter to the judge that they're going to plead guilty. Okay, now how do they do that? I don't get it. And I'll tell you this much, if I had been in Guantanamo Bay for the last 5 years and they'd been torturing me like that, you know, I'd say whatever I want. I'd tell them I was Francis the Talking Mule if that's what they wanted me to say. I mean, for crying out loud, so what kind of credence can you give to the testimony of these guys, you know, when they've been tortured for that long? This is preposterous what these people in this administration are doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't be surprised if it comes out that the current administration is just as involved in 9/11. In fact, you could tell from the look on Bush's face that someone else had made a move, and he was powerless to do anything about it. And he proceeded to read my pet goat upside down.
Upside down, yes. And Andy Carr, the guy, the chief of staff that whispered in his ear, that's Susan Lindauer's cousin, by the way. Okay.
Andy Carr is Susan Lindauer's cousin,
Andy
really?
Carr, well, she was calling everybody. She sent six letters to Andy saying, you can't do this, because she was getting the intelligence reports that Bush was getting, and evidently they were being funneled through Richard Pearl. I don't know. But bottom line is they're saying, remember, you know, we can't wait for the smoking gun in the form of a mushroom cloud. This was all fraudulent information. And Susan Lindauer had the goods on it, okay, and was ready to testify. She called Senator Trent Lott's office. She called John McCain's office. Guess what McCain did? Picks up the other phone and calls him and says, hey, you better arrest this girl. That's exactly what they did. And then, okay, she goes to court. Guess who the judge was? Michael Mukasey. You know what happened to him when he threw her in jail? They promoted him. He replaced Alberto Gonzalez for the Attorney General's office. You see how it works here? Okay? Mm-hmm. You do something with nefarious and evil, and you get promoted. If you do the right thing, you're a whistleblower, and they oust you, and they vilify you, and they ostracize you, and you can't get a job. That's the way it works in Washington. There are times when I read so much of this news, and I find it so frustrating that the American people, even in light of the fact that the housing bubble has burst, people are behind on their mortgage payments. That's another story. People are losing their jobs. InfraGuard has come in, and there's a background check that is so meticulous that half the people in the nation couldn't get a job if they needed to apply for one. Because if they've got a misdemeanor on their record or bad credit, most of these companies won't hire them anymore. Then you've got a $75 billion bailout that Obama puts forth for the troubled homeowners, and all of these mesmerized, hypnotized, neurolinguistic programming that was used on them, that they think Barack Obama is the Messiah. What they don't realize is they've just been conned again, because the only people that this $75 billion package for the troubled homeowners will help are people that have Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loans. Now, if you remember correctly, the loans were being touted that were in trouble, and I know this because being in the mortgage business, I know, were subprime loans, Alt-A loans, and option loans that were going to reset. Now, do you remember hearing that on mainstream news?
I remember them talking about that a little bit, but not in the specificity that one would make a determination that there was something amiss.
Over 90% of the loans in question that are having the major problems are subprime, Alt-A, and option loans. The only thing that this $75 billion will help are homeowners that have what is called Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan, which totally alienates the loans that I just told you about. So what they did was they turned around, they put out this $75 billion package, and they said, look, Barack Obama, he's the Messiah, he's helping out the homeowners. Over 90% of the people will get no help whatsoever, and the government knows it. And it's the same thing that they did in the Reagan administration to the senior citizens on the prescription drugs when they passed the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act. It made it worse for the senior citizens on their prescription drug costs than it did before they enacted it. That's what they did with this bailout. So I'm looking at this stuff, the overall view, and the 9/11, and the terrorists, and the song and dance about these hearings, and Bernie Madoff that's, you know, supposedly going to go to jail for 150 years. Oh, nonsense. Okay? These people are a small clique of people. They're all in cahoots. They're all backslapping. They're all in the same secret societies. And Bernie Madoff's not going anywhere. And if you think you're going to get help on your mortgage because you're upside down, think again. The only people that qualify are ones that have Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans, and those are 30-year fixed or 15-year fixed loans. A couple of derivatives, but that's for the most part. This is sick. And they are taking this country down the tubes. They are ripping the hard-earned life savings out of the American public, and the American public is too apathetic to even care. They don't know what's going on, and as long as they can sip their Pepsi and watch American Idol, everything's fine. Yeah. I'm through with my rant. It's your turn to talk.
Let me comment on this real estate thing. And you, You know that I did quite a bit of research on Wantagate, and so you know that they were already very skilled in shuffling trillions of dollars into offshore accounts, but this was all hypothecated. They didn't have the actual funds. They knew the funds and the accounts existed, so they came up with this scheme of rewriting the contract values and actually turning the contracts over to other banks. For instance, if one had an account with ABC Mortgage Company in Southern California, ABC Mortgage Company, and this is just a fictitious name, but I wouldn't be surprised if it showed up on a list somewhere. They would sell the value of that contract. Let's say it's a $300,000 contract. Somebody buys a home for $100,000 and on a 30-year fixed mortgage or fixed rate, it's worth X number of dollars. Or if it's on a variable rate mortgage, it could go sky high. So they sell these contracts to people that are now going to hold the collateral. It's in their interest because if the people default and the home is foreclosed, they now own it. And they haven't really had to put up any money at all. And all this money is being made out of thin air, right? So,
well, the money doesn't come into existence. The value is by the labor of the creditee or the borrower. The money is put into existence. This is what a lot of people don't know. It is brought into existence upon the approval and signature of the borrower. Then they manufacture the money and they hold the loan as collateral. The whole thing is a fraud, is what it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's another magic trick. Then they package up the loan itself. They might put it with 100 other packages, and they will sell it off through a brokerage firm as a collateralized debt obligation. And so there's a buyer that owns, you know, whatever, $20 million worth of a bundle here, and then they'll take that and reinsure it through a hedge fund. So if it defaults, the hedge fund will buy off the insurance. Henceforth, when a person is due to go into a foreclosure, this is why the banks will say, no, you have to bring it up to date, because they know they're not going to lose, because if it defaults, the lender is going to get paid off on his insurance policy for it. This is why they are so averse to working with the borrower.
The main reason they're against that is because they don't have the original, meaning the person that is the borrower does not have but the original copy that they made with the first lending institution. These are handed over to Deutsche Bank, Deutsche Bank's not giving these people a new contract.
No. But here's and it's interesting you brought this up. I don't mean to cut you off, Don, but I'm going through this right now with a loan modification that I've been attempting to do for a borrower through IndyMac Bank. And it's coming down to the play that we are going to have to force them to provide us, to show us a copy of the original note. Because it seems like half of these banks, mysteriously, when they're packaging up these CDOs and selling them off, they're keeping the notes, they're throwing them away, they're making copies of the notes and you know, bundling them up into the collateralized debt obligation. So the people that are buying what they think they're buying, they don't even have an original copy. And the people that are going into foreclosure, when they say, show me the note, the lender can't show the note. The people don't have to leave. And there's even congressmen right now that are saying, become squatters. Do not leave till they provide you with the actual note. Not a copy, but the actual note. So we've got a mess on our hands here. But the people need to be aware of that and know it, because they do have their legal rights there. That lender has to show them an original signed note to be evicted. Go ahead.
Well, you know, when someone breaks into your home and steals your TV set and your refrigerator and maybe your computer, maybe some of your furniture, some of your clothes, jewels, they don't leave a calling card, usually, do they? You know, in case you need to get in touch with me, here's my number. And that's basically what they're doing here, the same thing. They're stealing, okay? They're robbing blind. This is RICO. This is organized crime. And it's being conducted.
If the listening audience isn't already confused, you start throwing the credit default swaps in there, and then you really got a shell game going. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm just making the point that people are probably asking themselves, how can this be going on? Well, they're all doing it together. They have the aid of the Justice Department. They have the aid of law enforcement agencies.
Sure. It's all a click. But if you look at it in this respect, okay, you're a crook, and I'm a crook, right? And so I go in, and I burglarize, and I take that TV, and I take that stereo, and you know it's stolen because you're my buddy, and we're both crooks, right? So I sell it to you, and you turn around and fence it to somebody else who is also in the game, because all these people are in the game, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So they can pass it off from one to one to one. Now, you know, there's no the old saying, there's no honesty among thieves,
mm-hmm.
you know, and greed is great. You know, mm-hmm. what was that Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen that were in, I can't remember the name of the movie now.
Wall Street.
Yeah, Wall Street. Greed is good. So these guys can't even keep it straight when they're selling it off to their buddies that are the crooks, okay? So they're pulling shenanigans and they're throwing some real, you know, ugly paper into those CDOs and selling them off and saying, oh, yeah, this is great. You know, it's what they're doing basically is they're wrapping up a turd and they're putting a nice cherry on the top. Because it's wrapped up, they can't see it. So, and the banks now don't even trust each other because they don't know how big the turd was until they open the box. I mean, that's the way it goes.
Oh my goodness! And what do you do with the cherry? Let's not even go there.
Well, yeah, all right. But the bottom line is, you get the drift. You know, these people are all players in the game, and of course, every once in a while, they'll find a willing dupe. You know, like Iceland. That says, oh, this looks good. We know all these people over there that are doing it. Let us have some. Boom.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we got ourselves a patsy. They sell them about $10 billion worth of collateralized debt obligations or whatever they do, and the next thing they know, they're not worth anything, and Iceland goes bankrupt. But then,
yes.
Guess what happens? The International Monetary Fund moves in and says, that's okay. We're going to give you a loan that we know you're not going to be able to pay back. They don't tell them that. Okay, but in turn, you've got to pledge the collateral to all your utilities and all your electric companies and your gas companies, everything over to us. So they give them the money. They bail them out. Iceland can't pay them back, and guess what? They're owned by the New World Order. End of story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't this a wonderful game? I wish I could play. No, I'm just kidding you. You know, it takes me back to the days of Star Trek back in the late 60s, early 70s, when Scotty used to say, beam me up. Or they used to say, beam me up, Scotty. You know,
mm-hmm.
Stop this planet. I want to get off. You know, who's running this show and why?
Says, the engines can't stand no more.
but
she won't take no more, Captain.
Yeah, I had Ed Griffin on my show yesterday, and I said, Ed, give me an analogy of this. You know, G. Edward Griffin, the creature from Jekyll Island. And he says, well, it's like you're holding a bucket, and there's a bunch of holes in the bottom of the bucket, okay, and there's water in the bucket, and the water's seeping out. And he says, the government is turning around and pouring water in the bucket faster and faster and faster because the holes are getting bigger. And I says, yeah, but at some point, aren't they going to run out of water? And he said, no, you know, but you're not going to run out of water, but ultimately you're going to flood. You're going to drown in the flood,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they can continue to print the money, but the more the money that they print, the more worthless it gets. And when that money comes back internationally and sits in our lap, we're going to have a serious problem with hyperinflation,
yeah.
you know. But they don't care because they're sticking a finger in the dike when the hole is as large as the hole in the Pentagon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're just prolonging the pain when what they really should do, and here's the solution right now. Folks, maybe you didn't think I was going to give it to you, but yes, I am. The solution to this thing, which, by the way, is never going to happen, Don, is to get rid of the Federal Reserve. End the Federal Reserve right now. Default on it. Say, we're done. The government starts printing money, issues it in circulation, and it's end of story. Game over. Every president has tried to do that. John F. Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, they've been shot. They've been killed. John F. Kennedy had, what was it, $5 billion in greenbacks printed?
Greenbacks, yeah.
Lincoln did the same thing. They killed them both, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the banksters run this country. The international banksters, they have no allegiance to any country. As I made an analogy the other day, it's like, you know, I live in Arizona. You know, I'm a little bit concerned about what goes on in my environment and so forth. But I have as much care about, you know, Macon, Georgia, as I would have about the Atlantic Ocean. I don't live there. I don't know anybody there. I mean, I don't want to see it blow up and go off the planet. But that's the same mindset of these international banksters. They have no patriotism. They have no sovereign. They don't care anything about the United States of America. They use that, you know, the American flag, the Pledge of Allegiance, they use that because they know that that is an emotional heartstring for the American people. They could care less. They want a one-world government, and they want to micromanage everything you do and steal every dime you own. That's their agenda. That's their goal. They want population. They want to decrease the population to 500 million. People say, "Oh, you're crazy." Well, hey, go look at the Georgia Guidestones. They wrote it right on the Guidestones. Okay, all you have to do is go down there and look. That's the only concern I have about Georgia. Macon or Oaks.
Yeah, and somebody went and spray painted it too. Actually,
really?
Yeah, they
they
vandalized it. Yeah, they put graffiti on it. It was pretty profane, but
well, you know,
I guess it was apropos.
I had a guy on my show today, Paul Grignan, who made a video called "Money as Debt." It's moneyasdebt.net, and it's a cartoon. It's about 45 minutes long. And, you know, I was prompting my listeners to buy the video, pass it out to your neighbors. Here, you know, hand them a copy of it and say, here, take a look at this, give me your opinion on it. Because it's a simple cartoon. You know, people don't read anymore. So if they would just sit down and watch a 45-minute video, they would understand. They'd get a grasp of what's going on here. These people are playing the American people and stealing every dollar they can. What is one of the last acts they do before a country goes down is they loot the nation. And that's what they're doing right now. They're looting the nation, and people don't understand where the money's going. It's not vanishing. It's being stolen. Because these people are capable of insider trading. You know, there's some people that are above the law, right? These people do insider trading all the time. The stock market dropped from 14,003 down to 8,000 in one fell swoop in about a month, okay? It's because the insiders that knew what was going on cashed out. It's not because the money just vanished. I mean, how can you think that?
And they're going to wait for the bottom to drop out completely. When it gets down to about 5,000, then they're going to go in and buy everything up.
Sure, they're manipulating the price of gold. Okay, they do it every day. And here's another interesting fact. These same people that manipulate the price of gold are the same people that print the money. So in reality, when it costs $920 a day for us to go out and buy an ounce of gold plus the juice, which is, call it $1,000, okay, do you know how much it costs them to buy an ounce of gold? Do you know how much it costs them to buy an ounce of gold?
It's probably nothing.
It costs them 30 cents. Because it costs them 3 cents to print a $100 bill. It takes 10 $100 bills to buy an ounce of gold, so it costs them 30 cents. I mean, you know, talk about a lopsided game where the rules are slanted so far that you can't win in a game like this. The only way that we can win this thing is to convince these people, which is impossible to do, in Congress to get rid of the Federal Reserve. And we could do it with a stroke of the pen, but we won't do it because we're too ensconced in it, so we have to get rid of those people. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's another story in itself, which we're probably out of time or close to it, and I couldn't go there.
Well, we have a couple of minutes. Let me make a point about this mortgage issue. People think that they're actually signing contracts. You know, they're bundling this stuff, but basically the contracts or the assets are being transferred via computer. These are considered to be mortgage-backed assets that are transferred in trusts or in securities. And it's series 2006 FES and 2006 HES. Those are two separate sets of numbers that they're using. But this has been going on since when? Since about 2006, right? It coincides with what they're doing. And the money had been going into offshore accounts. And I can name firms that are doing it, but you just assume that all the banks, the major banks, are doing it. Wells Fargo is going to go belly up because they're calling everybody on the planet 10 times a day and hanging up if a person doesn't answer the phone. Because they're trying to get people to refinance their home or trying to get them to get interested in another piece of property just so they can get their hands on emergency cash. But these stories about these banks imploding is more of the same horse pucky, because their goal is to federalize all the institutions. They want to have one central bank.
That's true, and not only that, but they're training their managers in the banks to be very condescending, and you have to be a meek, mild-mannered wuss to even get an answer out of them. I'll give an example. I went to an ATM machine, about 3 weeks ago to make a withdrawal, and the ATM machine was out of money. So I walked into the bank, And I asked the manager a question. I said, listen, this ATM machine's out of money, and it wound up giving me $80 instead of the $600 that I requested. Are you guys in charge of that? And the first words out of her mouth were, well, the first thing you got to do is calm down. I wasn't upset. I just asked her a question. She says, if you don't calm down, I'm not going to talk to you. And I said, look, I came in here to ask you a question to see if you could resolve a problem. I didn't come in here for a psychological evaluation, you know. I mean, I was just floored that these banks are obviously training their managers. Same thing that's happening with this bank that I'm doing the modification art. These people won't give us an answer. If they do, they won't give us a straight answer. And now, since this bailout package has come through, Don, they won't talk to us at all. There's a voicemail recording that sends us right back into the website. They're playing a shell game. The banks are playing a shell game because they're losing credibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're being exposed. They're part of the corruption. You know, most people don't, you know, the average American is not reading the information that we're talking about. So they're oblivious to this. They say, oh, well, the bank had a problem today. Their computers were down. Honey, I couldn't get my money. And whether it's a wife or a husband, what do you mean you couldn't get any money? You know, it's the other partner is no more aware of it. But when people are faced with this, all of a sudden they're being fed this line, and they're not aware of what's going on. So they don't know how to talk. They don't know what to say. They have no idea. You can't expect anything else of them. That's no excuse. That's why we do what we do, to awaken people, to bring them this information. And, you know, we're not asking them to believe us. Do the research and you will see. These aren't things we're making up.
No, I was going to say, I would urge your listeners, don't believe us. Go do the research for yourself. And you'll find out that when you start doing the research and connecting the dots, the picture starts to make sense then, because right now people are confused, they're upset, they're frustrated, they know something's wrong, but they don't know what. And the when you go down and you do the research, such as Don has done and I've done, you know, and we don't get it right 100% of the time, but, you know, it starts to give you a focus and a picture of who these people really are and what they are doing to the American people, because they are not patriots. They have no sovereignty. They're internationalists. They don't care.
Mm-hmm. And they don't care, but they do send out their minions to harass us when the truth is being revealed. They don't like that. So,
you're kidding me about that, Don, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, in on that story, I was talking about Susan Lindauer. You know, the FBI agent that testified in court that you know, he discredited Susan Lindauer's testimony about her. She wanted to bring forth testimony about the warnings about 9/11, and this FBI agent discredited her, which is part of the reason why the judge remanded her to Carswell Prison. And just last week, she had a plumber come out to her house, and this same FBI agent was coming out taking pictures of her plumber and her house, and she caught him. So they're using intimidation tactics on her, trying to scare her off from going into Congress and demanding to testify. These people are scared, because if the truth ever comes out, if the curtain comes down and we have done our job and we awaken the American people, they are going to tar and feather these people and then burn them alive.
Yeah.
That's how serious this is, Don.
Yeah. Now, we did a series of shows. I say we. I don't think you were involved in these shows, but we did some shows where we were talking about false flag events, and we had uncovered the intention to powers that be, if you want to call it that, to place nuclear devices in 7 U.S. cities. 2 days after the second broadcast, I presume it was the CIA, came out with a book that somebody supposedly had written saying that Al-Qaeda was planning to blow up 7 U.S. cities. They were going to blame this on Al-Qaeda, but we identified who was behind it. And some white hats in the government actually defused this. This was a real situation. Now, recently, within the past a couple of weeks, Dr. Bill Deagle came out and verified the story, but we had done it starting on the week before the inauguration. It was an attempt to move us into martial law and let the Bush regime hold on to power. That was the essence of what was going on. Now, are we saying it was the Bush regime? Well, they had to have been involved. You know, Cheney would have been involved in that. And we had this Barksdale Air Force incident that took place last year with the missing nuke out of six that were flown armed across the country. And I doubt they ever made it to Texas where they supposedly were supposed to be disarmed. But you fly a plane from North Dakota all the way to Louisiana with six armed nuclear weapons, and one is missing when it gets there. And you had 18 people mysteriously die that were involved in that investigation.
Well, now that I could verify because I read the reports on that, and indeed there were. I thought it was 14. I didn't know it was 18, but. It seems to me like I read several reports and I cross-referenced them, and there were 14 military service people that lost their lives mysteriously over that issue. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, these aren't normal. Now, you blame that on Al-Qaeda? Or do you blame
I?
The... well, I mean, I'm speaking in hypothetically. You take into account that the BBC was broadcasting that Building 7 had already fallen down on 9/11. It doesn't matter who was flying planes or who was blowing up buildings. How did they know? How did they know that building was going to fall down? Because while they were reporting it had fallen, it was still standing. And not just in London, not by the anchor on the main news show. 4 minutes to the hour, they reported that. By 20 minutes after 5 Eastern time, the camera went let's say, blank, white noise, and it shut down. The link in New York, they had a female virtual reporter standing in a studio with, you know, miles away from the building. You could tell because of the size of the building. And she's saying, sad to say that now building number 7 has also collapsed, and you can see the shots of the building in the background at the same time. Now, when it actually was to come down, they all they could do was black out the picture and hope that nobody noticed the building was standing. But the video was analyzed by somebody on the internet, and the guy put an arrow pointing to the building. Okay, now that has nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. That has nothing to do with the Pentagon. How did the BBC know to report that, and why were they reporting that twice? And it's the video's on the web too.
I've seen the video. I've seen the video more than once. Yeah. Obviously, that's just more evidence. But we've got all the evidence we need to know that they knew. I mean, the media was complicit in this. You know,
that's
and we know why, because the media, the same people that own the media own the banks. Okay. It's the same people. We know how tightly controlled the media is. We know that anything that is reported via the media in this country, as well as the rest of the world, this country even more so, is more tightly controlled than any place. But we know that the people that are reporting mainstream only report. They're not reporters anymore. They're entertainers. Okay, they just parrot what they're told to say. That's it.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they're fired. End of story. That's the fact that they reported that on the BBC, and I watched the building too. I know it came down 30 seconds or so after they had reported it. It's no surprise. If you've done the deep research that we've done on this issue, I can't even add them up. There's got to be thousands of anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
That are inexplicable. And you ask the government anything about it, you know, they'll come out, a politician, Bill Clinton, 9/11 inside job, how dare you? Well, no, Bill, just answer the question, okay? I mean, none of these people will answer the question. Even the pundits, the mainstream broadcaster, they won't answer the question. They'll just try to, throw out ad hominem attacks against you. Mm-hmm. But they can't answer the question. That's the reason why.
Yeah, exactly. There are so many anomalies, and they're obviously lying about them. I mean, these are things that regular people can determine for themselves, and they formed a commission to whitewash the whole thing, just like they did the Kennedy assassination.
Well, you know what's interesting? This commission that Leahy's talking about putting together, you know, that one plus an anthrax investigation, they're talking about patterning after the 9/11 investigation. Boom, red flag. The 9/11 investigation for anybody, a fifth grader or above, was a whitewash. So they're going to pattern the torture investigations after that, or the anthrax investigations? Well, we got two more whitewashes coming down the road, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is to anybody who is awake and that knows who these people are and what they do. This is an insult to our intelligence, and how they can continue to carry this off is only because the American people at large do not take the initiative to get up off their couch and away from American Idol and get on. It's at their fingertips, Don. It's right on the internet for all to see. This is why they want to shut down the internet and put in internet too. They don't want those dumbed-down American people waking up, or all those people are going to be terrified of us if we could just wake them up.
Yeah. Well, we have run out of time, and yet there's so much more to say. You're going to be on again this month, and I'm sure between now and then there'll be plenty of stuff to talk about. I'd like to get into the bailout issue. That's already in the trillions, despite what the media is reporting. I mean, there were actually people saying, well, there's a $400 billion targeted, to this the stimulus package. These people have stolen trillions of dollars. And for many months, I've been talking about $14 trillion that was parked at Citibank. Robert Rubin and Bill Clinton were involved in stealing that, and that money's been shipped over to Dubai, and it's about to start World War III. So the theft that's going on, and who knows? I think this story about eminent domain is just a ruse, just to frighten people.
I think so as well.
Yeah, I think what it is. I mean, they're just trying to make it look like, China is owed all this money because our economy is bad and we can't afford to pay the money, when in reality the money's stolen. And they stole the money from China. That's the issue. And they stole money from the Queen of England and Prince Alawid in Saudi Arabia. And while they're stealing money from these people, they're also lowering the price of a barrel of oil so that they can't make money.
They're trying to bankrupt OPEC by driving the oil prices down. I got Lindsey Williams coming up on my show next Tuesday, I believe, and he's an insider on all this because he has some people in the powers that be that share some information with him. He's going to come up and talk about that Tuesday. But yeah, they're trying to bankrupt the OPEC nations, and Iran is in. You know, and that makes sense to try to bankrupt Iran economically. You know, they use every tool at their ploy to try to accomplish their goal. So this is just another one that they're using. You know, short of trying to make Iran into a parking lot, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Now, you want to give your is your website up and running now?
My website is not up yet. The only thing I'll just say, I'm on libertynewsradio.com 5 days a week, 4 to 7 Central, 5 to 8 Eastern, and I'm also on Oracle Broadcasting, Oracle Broadcasting Network, on Saturdays from 4 to 6 Central Time, 5 to 7 Eastern. So anybody wants to tune in, I thank you for letting me give you that plug, Don.
Well, you have to do that, because if I don't, I have to answer a lot of email. So just Google Liberty News Radio, folks, and it'll take you to the site and Michael's show. And it is 3 hours long, so that's a lot of work. You've got a lot to prepare for.
That's my first gig, but they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So, I'll do it. I'm very happy with the network. They're doing great things, and they're good people. You know, your network has good people running it, and that's the key. My network, Liberty News Radio, Oracle Broadcasting, has good people running the network. There are some networks out there that have not so good people running the network, and they're not doing it for the right reasons, and those people I stay away from anymore. I will only put forth my information, the people behind the scenes that are doing this for the right reasons. And Don Newsome is one of those people.
Well, I thank you, and I'm sure Don and Doug, also his twin brother, are happy to hear you say that. Just a parting note here. One of our friends that call in from time to time, David in Washington, recommends that people take a look at the Zeitgeist Addendum. That's the follow-up video to the original Zeitgeist. And in fact, watch that. It's basically a history of what you're witnessing right now. The addendum actually addresses some issues that the first part doesn't. So those are good videos. Any particular 9/11 videos that we haven't discussed, Michael, that you might recommend to the listening audience and party?
There's about 20 of them out there. I mean, you know, for beginners, I don't know, pick one. Loose Change, Loose Change 2, 9/11 Mysteries, 9/11 Missing Links. You know, I don't even remember the one that you're talking about with the holograms or whatever they are. I don't even know the name of it. But you, if you go on and just to Google and just Google 9/11, you can sit there for days and watch 9/11 videos and do your own research. But don't just watch the videos. Do some, you know, some other journalistic research and compare the dots. Look at the notes. Judge for yourself, folks. The bottom line is 9/11 was an inside job. Regardless of how they came down, whether planes hit it or not, whether the people are still alive, whether it was Thermate, whether it was space, it doesn't make a bit of difference. It was an inside job. A fifth grader can figure it out. That's all I got to say.
Yep. And now you wonder if a president can when he's reading his book upside down, but that's already been covered.
The president knew president was threatened, and you could see by the timid look on his face, he knew to do nothing.
Exactly.
And right now he's still doing nothing. So, you know, he's supposed to go out and speak in Canada, I believe, this week or next week, and there's a whole big rally up there putting pressure on the Canadian government to prosecute him, which isn't going to happen because they're in cahoots as well. But we'll see how that plays out. Anyway, okay.
Okay, Michael. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to your next visit later on this month. And in the meantime, I wish you the best of success with your new show. I've been listening and telling others to listen. And you know I'm listening because I even called in. So
Well, I thank you so much for that, Don, and I appreciate it as well. You're doing good work. Keep it up.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.
Okay, folks, you have been listening to Evidence and Footprints on BBS Radio and our special guest, Michael Herzog. You can hear him weekdays at libertynewsradio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsome for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Also, a special thank you to Dr. Christopher Holmes for calling in and sharing some information and his viewpoints with us. And David for his recommendation of the Zeitgeist Addendum. In the meantime, got to run now. Tune in again tomorrow. Got another great guest, great show lined up for you. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.